Sandrine Debabieu Lloyd, you are our guest this week. I'm very grateful for you joining as part of this perspectives conversation. You're the European Vice President for Digital Sales and Marketing at Samsung. I think you've been there for just over 5 years in an extraordinary wide and I suspect ever-changing brief. We had the pleasure of getting to know one another, or I had the pleasure of getting to know you, when I placed you at Avis Budget Group as the digital marketing sales director for the business across EMEA. And you worked at Bupa, Lacoste, and BT. So you too have worked in a really lovely variety of sectors and business models. Thank you for being my guest.
You're very welcome. Nice to be here.
So Sandrine, I wanted to talk to you about your experience at Samsung. I suspect what you do there has evolved tremendously over the last few years. I think you cover about 33 markets, which is an extraordinary number of countries to sell and market products to. I don't think I even knew there were 33 markets in Europe. But you also span a hell of a lot of categories, mobile, of course, but also TV, home appliances, computers, and smart homes. I think you have a clever piece of tech that one can remotely turn on a laundry today. But I wanted to talk about your remit and ask you a few questions. So if I may, I'll just crack on. We've talked about transformation in the past, which is talked about a lot in the business world. And I think you mentioned the other day that it's kind of yesterday, quite passé. Tell me about that first.
Yes, I mean, this is not an arrogant way of describing the challenges, but, you know, people like you and I have been working, developing e-commerce D2C capability for the last 20, 25 years. So it is yesterday, because if a business today doesn't sell online, well, you know, they need to catch up really quickly, because actually the real challenge that we all face is the fourth industrial revolution, which is here with AI and robotics and the Internet of Things and cloud. So I think that's the real challenge that I have to face now in my business. You know, I keep saying to my guys in the business, well, you keep telling me you haven't got enough resources to do your work. Well, actually, we need to do intelligent automation. 50% of the tasks that we do today in the office could be automated. Why don't we? Because then it releases my team to do valuable tasks instead. Like, you know, I currently focus on automation of analytics big time, so that they're real time, they're automated, everybody can access them at any time in the office. And then my team can focus on insight instead of doing reporting and data crunching, which is not really that interesting.
As part of your remit, if I've got this correct, and of course, tell me otherwise, you're responsible for helping Samsung sell direct to consumer, but also sell through your retail partners and of course, your own stores. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we at Samsung, we work with many retailers and pure players across Europe.
And your remit covers the sales and marketing and customer engagement across all three channels.
That's correct, yeah.
How big a team do you have today?
I've got about 50 people in the office, and then we have a team of contractors on top of that, which is basically we use, depending on what we're trying to do, so we have 30 to 50 contractors who might be data scientists or business intelligence experts, and basically, I dial up and down the resources based on the needs. And then in Europe, I lead a virtual team of 350 digital experts as well, who work with me to make it happen. So quite a lot of us focused on that area.
I mean, that's an army of people, talent. And as you say, if you were to use and deploy AI and machine learning to be more efficient, I can only imagine that, yes, you'll be able to free up people's time to be more efficient themselves, but perhaps reduce time and perhaps resource. But let's talk about AI. And again, let's frame this, that you are the digital sales and marketing leader for these many countries here. What are you doing? What are you doing in deploying AI today, both internally and perhaps externally?
Yeah, so in AI, AI is everywhere, yeah, in everything we do. So it's not something to be scared of, especially machine learning part of it is really accessible to all of us. The potential for AI at the moment in businesses, at home and at work is, number one, what we don't want to do as humans. So repeating boring tasks like data crunching, and I just mentioned analytics, that's the big part of it. The second one is what we can't do. So collect and analyze huge amounts of data where you predict things. So for example, in the customer database, you can predict who's going to click, who's going to buy, who's going to churn, who might be more interested in your marketing activation. So that's really interesting. What we don't do yet is the third part, which is what we don't know yet we can do through artificial intelligence. So help us make better decisions, help us create new roles, new things, new activities. And that's what we need to explore in the next few years. But yeah, I think at the moment, it's really about helping with boring tasks that we don't want to do and anything that is about collecting and analyzing huge amounts of data. I think there is a really big potential for marketeers going forward. AI is going to change. Is each and one of us are going to have assistants going forward, where those assistants will select what we hear, what we see. You, Rupert, will say, I want my assistant to only give me information about travel, for example, because you'll be booking yourself a holiday soon. And that assistant will become a representation of you. It will be a bot. We talk a lot about bot-to-bot marketing. And that's a really big opportunity for me and my team, is I need to start thinking about not just doing marketing to people, but marketing to machines. And machines need very different marketing than people do. So again, that's an opportunity we're looking at. You need much more volume of content and data, less quality of content and data. So machines will want different things. And marketing for machines is the next best thing that we need to think about.
I mean, that's fascinating. And it's fascinating that it falls into your remit as a sales and marketing leader. And naturally, the lens in which you look at is about customer engagement today and tomorrow. And as you say, building propositions and experiences, products, services for the future. But who knew that you're already looking at how to engage robots and representations, as you say, of us? How fascinating. What other big changes do you see from the perspective there at Samsung that lies ahead for sales and marketeers and digital experts?
It's a really big question. Yeah, I mean, there's so many changes. You know, we've spoken about intelligent automation, AI, machine learning algorithms, content marketing changes. I think one of the big things that is happening right now for all of us is the moving from third-party data to first-party data. The big players in technology, Apple and Google in particular, are removing third-party cookies. So it's changing the way the industry is going to be able to advertise. Customers want to be spoken to in a targeted way. So that removal of third-party cookies need to be replaced by something else that still remain good for customers. So I think all of us need to think about how we build our first-party data strategy. That's the really big, important one, making sure you capture first-party data everywhere, making sure it's clean, making sure it's stored in the same place, that it's structured. I think considering what we call second-party data activation, so legally compliant data matching with partners, with strategic partners, with retail partners, with pure players, all of our partners. And then the last one is investing in what we call customer data platforms that don't rely on third-party cookies, but rely on first-party data. This is going to change the advertising world and how we advertise to customers. Another big development is, I strongly believe that in the future, customers will not be visiting websites. I think we're starting to see this already. When I mentioned bot-to-bot marketing, you will not visit websites. Your bot will pre-select what you want to see and not see. But we're starting to see changes in social and messaging commerce. Younger customers are starting to buy straight off social channels, messages. You know, we call this conversational commerce. This is also going to change big time.
This is fascinating, and to hear that potentially e-commerce sites will be an old-fashioned reality one day is quite extraordinary. Sondreen, one of the themes of this podcast has been about the perspective through the pandemic, the last 12 months or so for business. And some businesses have fared very well. Some have obviously been extremely challenged. And so if we just look through the business lens for a mo, how has Samsung done over the last 12 months with the various lockdowns across your 33 market remit? And how have you done? How have you been for the last 12 months? And have you come out of it any better professionally or as a leader, a human, from any of the challenges you've had to face or overcome?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think Samsung has had similar challenges as any other business out there in the world, which is the stores were closed, our customers needed technology really quick, and we needed to accelerate our digital transformation in that process. So I would say Samsung has made a very successful transformation in that process. We have grown our sales online significantly. We've raised to the challenge to help our customers in this difficult time. I think as a leader of digital transformation, sadly, I have benefited from the crisis because we have been able to accelerate that digital transformation. It's been good for the business. We've achieved much more than we would have if it hadn't been in the pandemic. But I think it's for the benefit of everyone and our customers. So it's been a good year. What I think has happened is to all the people who work in digital, it's put us under a lot of pressure. We've worked really long hours. We've had to help the part of the business that is retail that hasn't been able to perform as much. So we've had a big accountability, big responsibility to help the rest of the business survive this crisis. So I think we've done very well, but it's been really hard work. Have I come out better as a leader? I think so. I think, you know, it's challenged me to the core to lead a team virtually of 400 people plus across Europe, to still achieve and achieve more. I think I've seen some of my team, you know, not be okay. And I've had to understand how to support them better. I was telling you 10 minutes ago that I, for example, installed, you know, 12 till 2 lunchtime hours where nobody should be doing business meetings so that they have an opportunity to see the daylight. I think that's really helped my team. Mm-hmm. They have a choice. They can work, but I'm telling them that they have the right not to between those hours, which means that when they start at 7 and they finish at 8 or 9, they've had a couple of hours to see the daylight. So it's
a long day. Yeah, it's a long day when you're always on. And as you say, vital that people have time and that it comes from the top to make a breakwaters, have time for health, well-being, being outside, vitamin D, and a break from computers and screens. I think there are very few businesses who aren't trying to put processes and systems in place, communication actually fundamentally, in making sure that people don't grind themselves to the ground and invest in themselves, which often is literally stepping away from computer and being present in your own life as well. But absolutely, it's great to hear that. And as you say, with the hours and the markets and the time zones, that becomes even more vital. What else, Sondreen? Looking ahead, what excites you about perhaps a rosier year and future for us all?
Well, I think what's really exciting is if we can come out of this crisis and get back to a more normal way of life. I think that's really exciting for all of us. We all miss our friends, our families, our colleagues. I think what is exciting as well is all of our businesses have seen how working from home is actually absolutely fine, that people can work from home in many industries really successfully. We've done really well in our business doing it. And actually, you know, I used to spend a year seeing 33 countries, and now I can see them all in 1 week. And so there is some benefit to virtual working. I'm really excited about the hybrid ways of working we're going to create next year forward.
It'd be fascinating, and no doubt this happens, but I'd like to think it happens everywhere, to actually directly compute the carbon saving that people like you have had by virtue of the pandemic and being typically in one spot or between one office and one home office. Yeah. But you start adding up those miles and those trips to airports and that dead time waiting for planes or delayed planes, travels, taxis, etc. You add these together, it's been a real breakwater of travel. And as I've said in many times, many conversations, we must use the time that we were wasting through traveling and commuting and burning fuel, trying to get from A to B, to do something other than just working more, I think. We need to be spending more time on us on our own, asleep, exercising, being creative, having dormant time, but just being ourselves. And that's going to be, I think, a knack for all of us to try and ensure we have a third space between work and home, wherever we're working from. Sondre, listen, it's been great to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time and insights. And I wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much, Rupert. It's been lovely to talk to you as well. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.